Amen. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be here. I'm Yaku, and I love loopholes. Okay, some call me Mr. Loophole. I didn't ask for it, but I've got Lee alongside me. She's keeping me on the right path. But as we know, loopholes, it's just there. Usually we see a loophole, it's something that it's not covered by the fine print. So it's a way through. I'm not really talking about doing something illegal. There's just all these things that's just there and it's looking at you all the time. And I can't help to see it. And so that is just something, when it comes to medical aid, insurance, man, I've did many different things. Current in the reward programs, that's my hobby. I love it. I run Vitality and Multiply, I run them together. They work like a charm. And we always want to take a shortcut. Oh, I love shortcuts. We always see where we can do something easier, where something can come just a bit easier, where something can be different, where it's not necessary to do all these things. At our house, I've got a photo there that you can just see the children and Lee again. Just a reminder. So they are there. They show for Century City this morning. And when we want to have fun, like Friday evenings, that's our family night. Then Gustav, the eldest, he would usually come and he loved to race. He want to race everyone. That is running around the house. So we say, this is where we're going to go to the jungle gym and back, and everyone must be timed, and Lucy can start on the corner, Samuel start in the middle of the grass, and he's there, and I must also run. So we all run, and we keep on running, and they love it. And on Friday night, I said to them, okay, go, we must run relay, because it's always a thing to get the children to work together. So I come up with a new plan, they must run relay, and I time them every time. And they had their record. And then I said, okay, but go to the jungle gym and see if you can't do something better. These are the laws. You must come up with a better plan. And you must take time off of your record time. So they've won there, and I said, Daddy, but we can't do this and this. And they said, I didn't say that. Eventually they realized that it's fastest to, because the rule was run to the jungle gym, come down the slide. How you get up there, that's your thing. So they realize the fastest way is up the slide and down the slide. They can just keep on running. And I realized there were so many things. We always want to take a shortcut. We always want to look for something that's going to be better, that's going to be easier, that's going to be different. And really my shortcuts, I didn't take so many shortcuts or thought about it so much before we had children. Because before that, things were just a bit easier. There was just more of everything. And nothing pushed me in corners, and literally or figuratively. So financially, things were just a bit easier. And I still remember one day I was working as a programmer just here in Rondebosch, coming to work, sitting in traffic, it's tough at home, things are not going great. Baby crying, Lee's crying, everyone is crying. It's chaos. And I'm sitting here, and I said, every afternoon I'll tell her I'll be home 4:45. And every time I'm late, because there's traffic and what, and then I'll even leave earlier, and then I'm late. And that day I said, this is it. I'm selling the car, I'm buying a scooter. This is it. And that's when I start riding my motorbike. I'm still on my bike. I always said I'll never be on a motorbike. But that is just one of the changes or the shortcuts or whatever that came in when the children came. And Lee and I, if you get to know us, we're completely different. She's black and white. And she's keeping me there as well. But we're completely different. When it was my birthday last year, we invited a lot of people, and then I said, but we're not going to invite children. but our children will be there. So I asked Lee, isn't it weird that we invite people, but we're not inviting their children? And she said, no. And then she asked me, but isn't it weird that our children will be there at the party, all these people coming, but our children are there? And I said, no, that's not weird. So I said, it's actually great. Between the two of us, we don't worry about a thing. And she said, between the two of us, we worry about everything. And I realized that we are completely different. Again. And Lee read all the books. She did all the parenting books. She read it all. She was ready for, before the children came, I thought, I'll take it as it comes. And at least I just trust God that I'll come one at a time. That was my step of faith. And I really trust that I can race to the hospital with my hazards on, open road. I always saw that in the movies. So, and it happened, and that, I was really thankful for that. So, and that is all amazing. But through it all, I realized that when things are going well at home, it's going well with me. When things are in a good space, where things are okay at work, at home, everywhere, then things seem to be easy, seems to be fine. But the moment the pressure is on, the moment stuff started going wrong, the moment you see it's time to go to school and where's Lucy? And she's not dressed, then you found her and she's still in the pajamas. And did you brush your teeth? No. She just got distracted. Then suddenly there's a bit of shouting, maybe. You say, where's the others? They're already at the car. Then they come back, they forgot their books. And it's just chaos. And then we will all know there's moments like that, it's just chaos. And then the pressure is on and ugly stuff start coming out. Ugly stuff, or there's a potential for ugly things to come out. I always thought I'm very patient, but that was 10 years ago. Yeah. And I'm slow to anger. And I realize that's not true. Especially when Lee's not at home and I'm there with all three. Then I just get angry so quickly. Especially if I want to do something and they want to do something else. And they're like, daddy, 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 all the time. And they're asking the same questions over and over and over. Then all this stuff comes out that you don't want, you didn't prepare for it, you didn't know about it. And these things just come out. And then that's when I just realized that many are the plans in a man's heart, but only the Lord's counsel that will stand. Only the Lord's counsel, it will stand. So I make lots of plans by default. I think about stuff and I think, where can I do something different? What will work better? But there's no shortcuts to healthy families. There's no shortcut to healthy marriages. There's no shortcuts for us to connect with God. Paul Tripp, he wrote a few parenting books. And he said after his conferences, people will come to him and ask him a lot of questions about the books he'd written and all the strategies and all the plans and everything. And after a while, they realized that something is missing. Something is missing in all of this. And he said, the thing that's missing is the gospel. It's Jesus. It's just missing. That we all want to read the book. We all want to take everything and we want everything. We just want to do. We want to take the shortcuts. And how it works for me is I just realize simply I must just make time to sit with Jesus. To be close to Him. Times to be refreshed. In the parenting course, I'm also an evergreen facilitator, but I'm not a consultant like Lee. Lee's the one that's the evergreen talks, and she will come here, don't worry. And she's doing evergreen talks. I'm also a facilitator. But one of the things in this course is we call it the Garden of Discipleship. And there's a lot of pictures on there, and it's all symbolic of certain things in the discipleship process. Because parenting is really a discipleship process. We're really teaching our children the ways that they should go. And And it's a long-term thing. It's not a sprint. And it's hard work. So there you've got a good intro for parenting. It's very hard work. And so in this picture of the garden of discipleship, there's two things. There's a well, a spring of water, and there's a garden bench. And what they say, whenever there's a problem, whenever stuff comes up in our homes, we need to decide, where's this problem? Is the problem with my child, or is the problem with me? Because sometimes the problem is actually with me. Sometimes I'm the problem. And then it doesn't help that I want to take all the shortcuts and all the lists, and I want to make a lot of stuff. And I just want them to fit in this, and I want another reward chart, another thing. Then I need to go and sit at the well. And that's what it speaks about. It speaks about a place where you sit with Jesus and you just pour out your heart. And you just tell it as it is. And you just hear from God and allow Him to speak into your life. We did a series on abiding in Christ. And I realized so often we want to have the checklist. We want to have the stuff. This is what I must do. I must read my Bible. I must pray every day. Then I feel good. And it becomes like a duty. And God wants to move us from duty to delight. He wants to move us from, he doesn't want us to tick boxes. He wants us to go to a place where we delight in God. Where once again we're awestruck by who He is. Once again we see Him for who He really is. We experience Him for who He is, the Almighty God. And through life, through business and work and every area of my life, like I said, by default, there's shortcuts. But I realized that the only one that can change something overnight or in a moment is God. And that's the only one. I remember all the times when I was so desperate for many things. Many moments crying. I always say Sunday evenings when you sit on your bed at night, that's the moment where the kids are in bed, maybe your wife is sleeping. But there's a moment of, things are quiet. Okay? It's the same moment if you get lost if you put everyone in the car and you close the door for your wife, and as you walk around to your side, there's also a moment of silence. Right there. And sometimes then is when we just break before the Lord. And we just break and we say, this is the stuff. This is the stuff that's happening in my life. This is the stuff that I'm trusting you for, God. These are the battles that I fight. I don't know what's going on with my children. I don't know what's with Gustav. Samuel, he's not himself. I don't understand why Lucy is doing this and this and this. Did something happen at school? I don't know why I'm not connecting with Lee. I don't know how this stuff is going to work out for the finances. And that's where you can bring everything to God. And you can sit at His feet and you can hear again a word from the Lord. And He's faithful. And He's the only one that can change things overnight. He's the only one that can make things different. Where you wake up in the morning and things are different, or someone who did a deal, or money came in, or there's a miracle, there's healing in your house, whatever. That is what's available to us. So I just want to encourage you to make that time, to sit at the well. And sometimes we need to sit on the garden bench. Now the bench is just saying that's just symbolic of just talking with whoever is in your home. Just connect with them. For me, if I want to bless the children, then I need to know what is going on in their lives. With Gustav, I run a race. With Samuel, I draw a picture. With Lucy, I dance. Or we sing. That's it. For Lee, it's quality time. But you need to spend time with them. You need to be there. You need to be present in your house. And just ask God, Lord, just open my eyes that I will see everyone. I will just see them and then I'm present. The thing is with our cell phones, we always think that we're connected. Or we say when the cell phone breaks, I realized it a few weeks ago. I shared it last week as well. Lee tried to close the door and she realized the car door doesn't want to close. So she slammed it a few times. She didn't realize the phone is just lying there. That's why. So that one was Finnish. Okay. Not screen replacement. It's Finnish. And then they come and they say, that's my whole life is on there. And all my WhatsApps and all my contacts. And what's going to happen? And we realize that sometimes we think that's how we connect. That's how we connect with one another. That's how we connect with people. And there's just so much more. When I feel like I'm having a holiday, that's when my phone is off. That is, yeah. Then it's like a holiday. Then you're just here. You're just present. You can just connect with everyone. You can talk to them. You can speak to them. You can hear from them. And there's always the times that we have at night with our children. Those are the most special times. That's where we can just, they just start talking. And usually Samuel, he will just start talking. He talk about this, all kinds of stuff. And they say, Samuel, when that happened today, what was going on there? And he will share his heart, where earlier he didn't want to say a thing. Then suddenly he's sharing, suddenly he's saying things. And everything is just calm and you're there, you're present. And also, there's a parable that I just want to read for us quickly. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's one of those parables that just stuck with me the last while. And when you ask someone, what parables do you know of the Bible, they will often say, this is the one. But I just want to highlight something that we also need. So let's quickly read there. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So again, it's me, you just wonder, what must I do? Give me the list, give me the check boxes. Show me what must I do. And Jesus said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So they're quoting there from Deuteronomy and Leviticus. So everybody, all the Jews, they knew those scriptures. They knew the Hebrew Bible. They know their stuff. When they start quoting this, they knew exactly what's going on. But this guy, that was his answer, and Jesus said, do this, and you will live. Do that every time it strikes me. The giver of life. So do this and you will live. But then he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? So maybe he's looking for a loophole. If I know who's my neighbor, I know who to love. And I can ignore the rest. And he wants to know, who's my neighbor? And it's just beautiful. Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. So that is going down. There's about 1,000-meter elevation difference between Jerusalem and Jericho. So he's going down. I've got a picture here of the path. It's about 29 kilometers. So it's quite a walk. It's dangerous. And there's a lot of caves, a lot of places where people can hide. So that's where he was walking, and then robbers attacked him. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Now remember, Jesus is telling this parable, but it's almost like he's putting up a mirror that the people can see the characters in the story. And as we read it now, just see the characters and see where do we fit in. And there was a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. So what we know about these guys, they were the religious people of the day. They knew everything. They knew the law. And maybe they thought that they can't go over to help this guy because then they're going to be unclean. Maybe they were on their way to a conference speaking about love and all of that. So they can't show love next to the road. They're going to be unclean. They're going to almost lose their religion. And they will have to do a lot of stuff to to make that right again. And we don't know what was going through their mind. We didn't know why they didn't help, why they didn't do anything about it. But then a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds. He poured him on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, 2 days of wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for an extra expense you may have. So we have the robbers, we have the victim, we have the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan. Do you know about Samaritans? They and the Jews, they hated one another. If you're in the marketplace and you're doing your shopping and the shadow of the Samaritan fell on you, then you must put your stuff down and you get new stuff because it's just become unclean. And they just hated one another. And sometimes in our, I realize that sometimes in our homes that we are moving between these characters. Sometimes we are robbers. We come in and we hurt. We hurt with our words, with our actions. We leave people next to the road hurting. Sometimes we are like priests and Levites and we're walking through and we see something, but we justify our own actions. We've got good motivations to do what we do. It can play out in many different ways. And sometimes we are victims. We are the ones getting hurt. We're the ones getting hurt. And then there's the Samaritan. There's the Samaritan, but the thing is that made him stood out from all the rest is he showed pity. He had compassion. And the two things that he did, it was inconvenient for him. He actually stopped and he put the man on his donkey, take him to the inn, and it cost him something. And that's what I realized, is two things that, for me, I'm always aware of this. There's sometimes when I have compassion, or sometimes very simple, where I feel the Lord is pressing something on my heart to do in my house or to do for my children, for my wife. Sometimes it's an inconvenience. Sometimes it's costing me something. But that is the right thing to do. And not to, we're quick to justify. We're quick to say, this is what I can do. This is why I'm not going to do something. And people are, well, our children are getting hurt. My wife gets hurt sometimes. Yesterday, it's water restriction, so the kids just bath every second night. They love it. So, and Samuel was stinking a bit. Man, I don't know what it was, his shirt or something. And I said, Samuel, you stink, man. And then Lee said, Yaku, don't talk to him like that. And I said, okay, yeah. It was maybe a bit direct. I said, Samuel, come here, buddy. And don't you think you might put another shirt on and I smell him a bit? I'm not sure. And I just realized, actually felt bad. Later I went to him and said, I'm really sorry for the way what I said. Because I could have said it in a different way. I could have just taken him aside in his room, call him there. And it just happened in the moment. And I just went back to him and I just said, I'm really sorry for what I've said. And I told the others that was wrong, what I've done. And I realized there's so many moments, there's so many things like that where we must just be careful. Because we can be like a robber, we're actually hurting. And we leave people along the way. We leave them along the way and they're struggling. And there's a lot of pain. And with that, it is what is going on in our hearts. That is the thing that stands out to me all the time. What is going on in our hearts? Because every day there's so much happening in our homes, there's so much happening in life, and there's so many times that we will have to make a decision of what are we going to do? How are we going to react? What are we going to say? How are we going to react to this situation? And what I'm asking the Lord now is just to slow me down. slow me down that I just see before I react. And it gets very practical. I realize I'm at a much better space if I spend time with the Lord than when I'm running on empty. I hate running on empty. Real running or in life. Where you're just struggling, you don't know what's going on, you're confused, and things are just tough. But this is all real. These are things that happens when we run on empty. And the question really is, what is filling our hearts? What is the stuff that's filling our hearts? What are the stuff that we are putting into our hearts? The word says in Luke 6, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A while ago, we had a couple at our home, and there was an issue that came up, and I asked the lady, so just talk to me, what's happening? And she, man, it was like a machine gun. I said, okay, whoa, whoa. She said, I said, okay. And I talked to her. I said, man, okay, what is your version of what is going on here? And he's like, okay, this and this. Very calm. Ask her again. Okay, so tell me what's going on. And this. I said, okay, just slow down. It's one of the times when you must have your bulletproof vest on. So I'm just listening. And then I said, okay. There's clearly other stuff going on here. Because this is such a small issue. And I don't know what it is. Is it hurt? Is it stuff, something that happens? But what is going on in your heart? The way you react to this, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And I don't understand what is going on here. I would love to understand. So we need to spend time and we talk and then realize, okay, we're not going to understand each other today. We will come back another day. Because the stuff, it's just so much. And it's just coming out. When it's a critical heart, it's a critical tongue. It's a self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. Then we're just judging everyone. Because everything must be right. Sometimes we're just bitter. And the stuff that comes out of our mouths, it's hurting people. No, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we've got the ability to speak life in our homes. We've got the ability to speak life into situations, to speak life to one another. And I really want to encourage you. This is again coming back to sitting at the well. Sitting at the well, spending time with Jesus and hear from Him. And say, Lord, what is on your heart for me? And what is going on in this situation? Because I realize there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in life. There's no shortcuts for these things. There's no shortcuts for a happy home, for your relationships to work, for the children to be happy. But quite often we get to these challenges. We get to things that's really, really difficult. Where I'm at my end and I don't know what to do. I've been there quite a number of times. And I will be there again. Because that's life. On my car, there's lights that go on. I hate it when the lights go on because that's money. It costs me money. So what used to happen is when I reverse, now when you start the car and everything starts coming on. And then, ding! If it's a fuel light, it's fine. You can put in petrol. But if it's that funny one, let's say engine, you must take out the manual. And you must read. That is trouble. So usually, reversing out of the driveway, putting on everything, the lights come on. There was such a fear that came into my heart of stuff that happened in the past. Just normal car trouble that costed me a lot of money. And actually, I started praying. I said, Lord, I just pray for peace when the light comes on. That's what I trust you for. Not for the light to go away. But I want to be able to have peace in my heart even when the light comes on. And to put it in another way, even in the storm. I want to be not like the disciples that got afraid and start waking up Jesus. I said, Lord, I want you to take me to a place to help me to get where we can go through the storms. Because I think there will be storms. There will be storms. But thank you that you are close. Thank you that you are with me in the boat. And we can go through it. So now I'm not so much, well, I pray for storms to go away. But I rather pray for, Lord, help me that I will just stay sane and calm and my heart at the right place, and that we can go straight through the storm. That we can go straight through. And I actually started asking, Lord, where are you? Where are you in this? Because God is always busy. That's the great thing. Even when nothing is happening, something is happening. Even when we can't see, even when we don't know what's going on, God is with us and He never leaves us. And we hear these scriptures, we say it all the time, but for me, it just got to a place where I must start believing and live like it's true. That God is really with me. And I just want to read the last scripture for us. Because life is tough. It's tough out there. It's tough. Things happen all the time. I know kids go to school, they come back in blood. It happens. Or they come home early, or you get phone calls. Things didn't work out as everything was planned. That's life. But throughout the Bible, we see our God is close to the brokenhearted. God is close to anyone who calls on His name. God is close. If we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. He's close to us. I did a course in Old Testament during this last week, and the guy was speaking about Job. And he said the one thing about Job that stands out is God was close to Job throughout. He was right there with him. And I said, that's God. That's something that I can live with. That's something that I can put down and say, thank you, Lord. That changed my life. And in Hebrews 4, verse 14, it says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is ready to help. He's there. He's with us. And it's so beautiful where the Samaritan at the end, I didn't finish that parable. Right at the end, Jesus asked the guy, so who's the neighbor? Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And he said, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Go and do the same. It's interesting that he asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, which one was the neighbor? We want a checkbox. We want the things what I must do. We want to know this and this and this. Jesus want to come and He want to change who we are. He want to change who we are. He wants to change how we respond. He wants us to show mercy, to be kind. In my home, at one stage, we had a kindness book because I thought that would help because the kids are a bit wild with one another. So every time they do something nice, they can write it in the kindness book. And I was trying to teach new habits. So we're not at the kindness book anymore, but it's still a big thing in our home. Just respect one another. Just love one another. But none of these things are things that Jesus was not prepared to do. He was the one that gave ultimate mercy for us. He was the one that came and laid down His life for us. And it cost Him something. It was inconvenient. And that is what I want to encourage you, well, everyone this morning. Whatever is happening at home, whatever is going on in your house, there is hope. There is hope. Don't be despair. Don't feel hopeless. Well, we all feel hopeless at some stage. I've had many moments like that in my life. But make use of the community that you're in. Make use of, just speak. Speak out. Connect with God and then connect with one another. And allow God to come in to do what only He can do. Allow Him to come in and to do those things where we can't get to. We can't take the shortcuts and to get there. Let us stand. I'm just going to ask the band to come forward. I just want him to lead us in another song. And then I just want us to respond to the word. Always when we hear this word, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, speaking to you guys, and He's highlighting certain things. And I believe this morning some things were highlighted, and maybe it's things that you realize, maybe there were mistakes. You must just go and say sorry. Maybe there's some things that you can trust God for. You almost got used to stuff in your house, and you forgot that you can actually come to God and ask Him to bring a breakthrough, that there's still hope. And we get into desperate situations, we get into things at home, sometimes it's very beautiful, sometimes it's not so beautiful, but that is life. And this morning I just want us to bring our hearts to God.